Joining us today to speak with us about a major issue that's taking place right in this province and in the waters near here, or at least it will be, once this radioactive steam generator transport plan takes effect. But speaking with us today about this issue is Gordon Edwards from the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Edwards to the show today. Hello.
Hi there. Thank you, Daniel.
Hi, yeah, thanks for joining us here on the show. And I think it'd be good to give the audience just an overview here about what is the province of Ontario suggesting with what's going on with the Bruce Nuclear Power Plant. And
okay, well, first of all, it's a private company that operates the Bruce Power Plant. It's called Bruce Power.
Oh.
And this is a privately owned, profit-making corporation. They are leasing the reactors from Ontario Power Generation, which is owned by the government of government of Ontario. So what we have is the ownership belongs to the government, but the actual management and the running of the plant belongs to a private company. Now, this private company has been undertaking what's called a refurbishment of these reactors. What it really means is that the reactor has become so old and decrepit that it's no longer safe to run. And so they have to gut it. They have to take out all these radioactive pipes and radioactive equipment, which has become corroded and too dangerous to operate anymore. And they're replacing it with all new components. The difficulty is that these old components have become very radioactive. The ones that are closest to the core of the reactor have become the most radioactive. They're so radioactive that they require a lot of care, and they'll have to be guarded for thousands of years as radioactive waste. The steam generators are the ones that are furthest away from the core of the reactor, but they still are radioactively contaminated because the water that runs through the core also runs through these steam generators. So they've got 16 of these huge steam generators that they were going to treat as radioactive waste just a couple of years ago. And now all of a sudden they've got the bright idea of packing them up onto a ship and sending them across the ocean to Sweden through the Great Lakes in the meantime in order to actually get some of this radioactive waste off their hands by recycling it into commercial products by selling it as scrap metal. So that's what we're opposed to, and that's what we're trying to stop at the moment.
Right, and I know that there was a presentation last week to the Owen Sound City Council from the Canadian Nuclear Safety
Commission,
right, and Mr. Ramzi Jamal, the Executive Vice President and Chief Regulator, I guess, was the person making the presentation, and then you wrote out, and I got it in front of me here, is your response or critique to this presentation that you talk about that there's a number of serious oversights. I guess what are your concerns? What are your main concerns with this presentation?
Well, the main concerns are that the regulatory agency, the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, is supposed to represent the interests of the public, and they're also supposed to explain to the public what the dangers are. And what is upsetting about this presentation is that they sound like they're paid by the nuclear industry to promote the idea rather than to explain the dangers. So they sound more like part of the industry than like the agency that's supposed to be regulating the industry. In other words, instead of sounding like a watchdog, they're sounding like a lapdog.
Wow, this plan to basically ship this material through the waterways. I guess this is one of your main concerns, is the threat of the contamination.
Well, there's a couple of things involved here. First of all, imagine, if you will, these huge steam generators, which are about the size of a school bus. Okay. And there's 16 of them. Each one of them weighs about 100 tons each. And inside those steam generators, each one of them has about 5,000 radioactively contaminated tubes, pipes inside. And nobody knows exactly the full extent of the contamination in those tubes because nobody's gone inside to look. So what we have is not just a vessel, But you also have a container which is full of these radioactively contaminated pipes. Now, some of the contaminants in these pipes are elements like plutonium and americium and curium. These are man-made elements. They don't exist in nature. And they're very, very toxic, and they have very long half-lives going into the many, many thousands of years. For example, plutonium has a half-life of 24,000 years. So why should we be shipping these things across our waterways? Why take a risk? And there's no good reason for it, because nobody actually wants this stuff. There isn't anybody in the world who's saying, please, could you sell me some radioactive metal? Nobody wants it. What they're doing is they're wanting to melt some of this material down and sell it as scrap metal without telling anybody that it's actually got radioactive contamination in it. So it's a way of getting rid of some of their responsibility for guarding the radioactive waste. Let's recycle it into consumer products. And what we're concerned about is that there are two risks. One risk is the risk to the waterways, the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence River. Should we be allowing radioactive waste to be shipped along these precious waterways? Because you can be sure that if they get away with this shipment, it's not going to be the last. It's going to be only the beginning of a new trend. That is, in the future, we're going to see more and more shipments of radioactive waste material, radioactive debris, going over the Great Lakes and along the St. Lawrence River. So we feel that now is the time to stop these shipments and ask ourselves, do we want this to happen at all? Because why should we allow it if there's no good reason for it? And the only reason is to save Bruce Power a little bit of money.
Wow, and the I guess the question that is coming to my mind, though, is this is I guess the destination, if the transportation of these steam generators goes throughout the Great Lakes, up the St. Lawrence, and then across the Atlantic to Sweden, why do you think Sweden has been chosen?
Well, Sweden has been chosen because there's only three countries in the world that will allow radioactively contaminated metal to be entered into scrap metal that's released for unrestricted use. You know, there's a lot of scrap metal dealers all over the world, lots of them in North America, lots of them in Ontario, who will take scrap metal, they'll melt it down, and they'll sell it to somebody who wants to use metal. Well, this Studsvik company in Sweden, and there's only three countries that can legally get away with doing this right now. One of them is Sweden, the other one is Ukraine, and the other one is Russia. Those are the only three countries where it's allowed. In North America, it's not allowed. That's why they want to send it across to Sweden. So what they're going to do at Sweden is they're going to try to separate the more contaminated waste from the less contaminated, and they're going to melt down the less contaminated waste, and this is going to cause a lot of pollution to the Baltic Sea and to the atmosphere, because this stuff does go off as gases, and it also gets released into the Baltic Sea where the plant is located. And finally, you're going to end up with radioactively contaminated metal, which can be packaged as scrap metal and then sold for any purpose at all. So it could end up anywhere in the world as metal products. And there won't be any indication, there won't be any labeling saying that it's radioactive or that it contains radioactive waste.
Wow, and I know that part of your critique here on this presentation was you added some questions that you had already sent the CNSC, the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, on July 14th. One of the questions that you had was, what other shipments of radioactive steam generators have been made from North America to Sweden? Do you think this is already going on?
No, there never has been any shipments. The reason I asked that question is because CNSC, unfortunately, consciously or unconsciously, has been giving bad information out. And one of the things they've said is that this will not be the first time that these kind of shipments have been made. I believe that to be untrue. I think that this will be, in fact, the very first time that these kinds of shipments from North America to Sweden have ever been made. I asked the CNSC this question in response to something they said on their website, and to this day they have not given me an answer. I've also asked them a number of other questions. For example, do they have a list of the radioactive materials inside these steam generators? No answer. Do they have a measurement of the number of curies, that's the number of becquerels, that's the measurement of radioactivity that's inside the steam generators? No answer. Do they have a measurement of the contact radiation dose at the outside edge of the steam generator? No answer. So they're not answering these questions. And even though on their website they say, have any questions? Give us a call. So I feel that they are not fulfilling their obligation to the public. They are paid by out of our taxpayers' money in order, among other things, to give us good information, good scientific, objective information about the nature of the hazards. And I don't believe they're doing that. In fact, many of the things they said in their presentation are quite misleading. For instance, they only talk about radiation as if it is invisible rays that come off the vessel. They don't even talk about the radioactive contamination of the materials inside the vessel. There's no mention of this. They don't really explain that there are some of the most dangerous types of atomic radiation are not actually invisible rays at all, but are particles which are called alpha particles and beta particles, and these can be very damaging when they get into the food chain or into the human body. There's no explanation of this whatsoever. So I feel that they are really letting down the Canadian public, and they're not fulfilling their own legal obligations to provide objective scientific information.
Well, speaking about these issues, I noticed in your critique here, I've got the section competency in health matters. You talk about there being a recent situation where hundreds of workers involved with the Bruce A refurbishment were contaminated. What was that?
Well, that's correct. Because they were having this refurbishment, they have many hundreds of workers working away inside these plants, trying to get them ready for restart, to start up again and to start operating after they have gutted the old material and replaced it with new material, the new tubing and the new pipes and so on. Well, they told hundreds of workers that it was safe to work in this particular area because their Geiger counters indicated very, very low levels of radiation, which they considered to be negligible. And these workers went in there because of this. They were told they didn't need protective equipment. They didn't need to wear respirators. They could just wear ordinary street clothes and go in there and work. Well, it turns out that over 200 of these men, unknown to anybody at the time, were breathing radioactive dust into their bodies, a very fine radioactive dust, which is so fine that it stays suspended in the air for long periods of time. Sort of like tobacco smoke. If you think of tobacco smoke, you know, it's really made up of particles. It's not really a gas. It's actually made up of tiny little particles. But they're so small that they stay in the air, and they're easy to breathe. And that's what these men were doing. They were breathing these radioactive particles. So now they've got their bodies contaminated with this radioactive dust. And that kind of dust is also inside the steam generators. So if the steam generators were to suffer an accident or a leak of some kind, that dust could get out and affect a lot of people who, of course, also would not be protected.
Well, moving into your oversight in the critique, oversight number 7, you speak about safe radiation levels, and then you bring in a 2007 press release from the U.S. National Academy of Sciences report on the biological effects of ionizing radiation. And in that they say that a preponderance of scientific evidence shows that even low doses of ionizing radiation are likely to pose some risks. Why did you bring that into the critique?
Well, I think it's disgraceful that we have a regulatory agency which pretends that there is a safe level of radiation when, in fact, all of the authorities in the world, including the ones they base their standards on, say the opposite. The International Commission on Radiological Protection, for example, the ICRP, from which the Canadian authority claims to get its radiation standards from, they say zero risk is not an option, that no matter how low you make the standards, there will be some risk of fatal diseases developing, such as cancer and leukemia. It's impossible to eliminate the risk altogether unless you want to go all the way down to zero radiation exposure. So I think that it is irresponsible, in my opinion, for a regulatory agency to tell workers and the public that the regulatory limits are safe limits, that in the sense that you can't suffer any ill effects from this. That's sort of like saying asbestos is safe as long as you have only a small amount of it. Or it's like saying secondhand smoke is okay. What is the permissible level of secondhand smoke. The reason it's set at zero is because there is no safe level. And that's what the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission should be saying if they really were working in the best interests of the Canadian public.
Well, here we are on in broadcasting from Toronto at CKLN. We're on the shores of Lake Ontario, and I know Bruce Powers on the shores of Lake Huron. But I guess if there was anything that happened in the Great Lakes, I guess there'd be a lot of communities that could be affected with this transportation of radioactive material. I did notice. And in one of your sections here, and the lack of transparency, you did speak of one situation in the 90s about transporting radioactivity, and that there was a proposal of something about in Scarborough that there was a massive opposition. What was that?
Okay, yeah, that's quite a different situation, but it's what I was trying to point out there is that. The Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission should realize that it's one thing to have radioactive waste on the site of the Bruce reactors and transporting it merely across the road to a waste disposal site or a waste storage site. That's one thing. But shipping it all the way to Sweden past the communities of millions of people and over lakes which constitute drinking water for millions of people, to think that that could be done without a proper environmental assessment review or without a proper public hearing that involves all those affected along the waterway, it staggers the imagination. The example that I was using of this small amount of radioactive soil in Scarborough that they tried to move to, I think it was Camp Borden, it was a military base, that was some years ago, but that stirred up quite a hornet's nest of opposition. And previously, there had been an effort to move some 800,000 tons of radioactively contaminated waste from Port Hope, Ontario, to some other Canadian community in Ontario. And that also stirred up a tremendous amount of controversy and interest. So my point is simply this. The nuclear industry should realize, and the nuclear regulatory should realize, that when you're going to start moving radioactive waste over along routes which affect people who live on both sides, you've got to expect that those people want to be consulted and they want to know what's, and they want to have a say. And I would like to go back to the main point here. The main point is that there's really no reason for these wastes to be moved at all. As a matter of fact, just a few years ago, if you go back to 2005, there was an environmental assessment about this entire refurbishment project. And in the documents, which are online, anybody can look at them, Bruce Power states emphatically that these steam generators are regarded as radioactive waste and they will only be stored on site. They will not be moved over public roads, nor will they be taken off site. They'll simply be guarded as radioactive waste indefinitely. So it's not as if we don't know what to do with these things. Putting them into consumer goods is not the way to go. And transporting them over the Great Lakes and along the St. Lawrence River, we feel, is not the way to go either.
Right, and I'm speaking with Gordon Edwards of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. And the last time we spoke with you was in 2008, and we were talking about, we got into the topic of nuclear weapons. And I know it always comes up this year with the, since we're days away from the anniversary of the bombings in Japan. With what's going on now in 2010, I know a few months ago, Presidents Obama and President Medvedev of Russia made a joint pledge to slash nuclear weapons by a third. And then I even saw today that there was some delay in the Senate on the U.S. side. But is there any hope right now, like or increased hope right now with for this world for like a, eventually a world with less nuclear weapons or no nuclear weapons?
Well, we really have to go for zero because this is what Ban Ki-moon recently, just this week, he announced that he is committed to a planet with zero nuclear weapons during his tenure as leader of the United Nations. And Obama has said something similar with regard to his tenure as leadership as president of the United States. And even some of the old hawks, like Kissinger, for example, and some of the past people who were in favor of nuclear weapons have come out and said, we really need to have a world without nuclear weapons. Here's the problem. The problem is that if you look around the world today, you look at Iran and people say, well, maybe they want to develop nuclear weapons. You look at North Korea and you say, hey, they've already developed nuclear weapons. How many other countries are waiting in the wings to develop nuclear weapons? You can't have a world based on hypocrisy. If it's okay for Israel to have nuclear weapons, for the United States to have nuclear weapons, for Russia to have nuclear weapons, and for Pakistan and India to have nuclear weapons, these are all people that we are working with. These are all people that are not regarded as pariahs, but are regarded as allies, and they have nuclear weapons. So how can you have a double standard? How can you say it's okay for some people that we like to have nuclear weapons and not okay for other people? We really have to get rid of these things altogether because they, in fact, constitute the greatest threat to the survival of the human race. Nuclear weapons have within them the ability to make the entire planet unlivable in a rather short period of time, a matter of hours. So that's why we have to get rid of them because, you know, we're alone on this planet as a species. We're the ones who are pulling the ropes, if you like to put it that way. And we've really got to realize that it's just as crazy to have nuclear weapons in our world as it would be to give machine guns to everybody on the street and say, okay, now you can protect yourself because you're all carrying machine guns. We just know that some people are going to be a little bit wacky or a little bit angry or a little bit off balance, and bad things are going to happen. With nuclear weapons, the trouble is, it's not just a few people or a few hundred people or a few thousand people that get killed, it's the planet gets ruined.
For real. And yeah, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Gordon Edwards, for bringing your knowledge to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today. Thanks a lot for appearing on the show.
My pleasure.
All right, thanks. And that was Gordon Edwards of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility, ccnr.org, to find more information on the work of Gordon Edwards and the Canadian Coalition of Nuclear Responsibility, more reports, and you can read it all online at ccnr.org.